Well, I'm going to start off this morning with a question. Ready?
Yes.
It's not that kind of contest question, Sal. It's just a question. Who is the wisest person you've ever known? Just think about that. The wisest person you've ever known. I need to tell somebody something that just happened. Because this is going to be wild. Lucas was standing at the back door, and when he heard the question, he stopped, turned around, and pointed at Jennifer.
Aww.
What? Really? Yeah. A mom and her son. Wow, that's great. Come on now. But I want you to think about how many of you, when you thought of this person, the person was, let's just say straight up, a little older. Yeah, a lot of nods here, a lot of nods. Well, today we're going to talk about wisdom. And it doesn't have to be for old people. Just that's good news. You don't have to wait till you're old to get wise. Now, we're in the middle of beginning stages, really, of the series about James, and we're calling it the lifestyle of the saved. And we're calling it that is because James is writing to people who've been scattered from Jerusalem. They've all become Christians, but the Jewish people and the Romans both were persecuting the Christians, and so they took off out of Jerusalem. And they went to everywhere, and that's one of the ways the church spread. And so, but these people that he's writing to are saved people. He's writing them about telling them how to live better lives as saved people. They're saved by the blood of Jesus because of the grace of God. Hey, just like you. Amen? Yeah, just like us. So this letter is also for us, saved people, saved by the grace of God. And so this is where we've begun with that in general. And then we talked about last week about how life comes at us, and every human that's ever born experiences trials of many kinds. And what James wants to say, hey, that's going to happen. That's on your calendar. Tough times are on your calendar. It's going to happen. But don't get scared. Don't freak out. There's a reason for them. And it's going to make you into the person God destined you to be. Trials of many kinds are part of being transformed into the image of Christ. So that the patience and the humility, we don't have to suck it up to get it. It's just who we are. Because we're changed and transformed into the image of Christ. And part of the way that's done is through trials of many kinds. And then, right at the end of that, James writes this. If any of you ask for wisdom, if any of you need wisdom, ask God for it. So that's what we're going to focus on today, the idea, ask God for wisdom. What's that and what does it mean? Let's pray first. God, as wise people in this room, we pray for your spirit to guide us. That you would open our hearts and minds to the truth of your word, that the words I say won't get in the way of that, but hopefully enhance that. Father, I thank you for this group of people who love each other and gather to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. I know a wise man. His name's Stephen Schlegel. He is about 43 years old, not too old. He's one of those people who was wise when they were young. Do you know a few of those people? They were wise from the get-go. Stephen is a financial counselor, planner kind of guy. And I had the privilege of kind of being his mentor, one of them, not in finance. Don't worry about that. When he was a college student, kind of worked through some faith issues with him. And so once he and his twin brother, Scott, got their business going, I said, hey, how about me? I've got about 15 cents that if you could manage it well, I might become a millionaire someday. And it actually was sort of like that. I mean, he did really well with the little bit he got from me. And, you know, and so here I am today, still got 15 cents. But Stephen is a kind of guy, a couple things about him. He's super knowledgeable. His clientele has been very successful financially, but they've also often grown spiritually as he's talked to them about what money is. And as Jeanette mentioned in her prayer today, we have this attitude towards money that it's something good. Well, Stephen's wise, and so he advises me, kind of. Usually this is the way it works. It's like Stephen says, I think this is what you should do it. Don't explain it to me because then I mess me up. Just do it. And it's worked out. But you know, just because he's wise with money, does that mean I am? Because one of the things I have to do to be wise is listen to a wise man. Okay, you get it? One thing wise people do is listen to wise people. And so I know a lot of stuff because Stephen's told me, but listening and knowing something isn't wisdom. What wisdom is this combination of accurate, good knowledge, and it's about what you know, and it's about what you do with what you know. You understand? It's not just knowing, but it's then being able to do it. So we're going to say that this is knowledge. I mean, excuse me, this is wisdom. It is knowledge that's put into practice. If you know something, but you don't put it into practice, it's not going to do you any good. And so it's also about discerning the truth. Because there's a lot of things that are masquerading as truth in our world. Amen? There's a lot of false narratives going around about everything you can imagine. But so part of wisdom is hearing things and discerning what's true. I need some of that. Do you need some of that in your life? Because all the things that might be coming at you that say they're true, I need wisdom for that. So if I could give me a big hunk of wisdom, and that's what James is saying. You need some of this, buddy. You need something that's going to help you discern what's true. That's going to be wisdom from God. Then you also need, with the knowledge you have, you need to be able to put it into practice. Wisdom. Wisdom. That's what we need. We need some of that. And so here's James chapter 1, verse 5, the first part of that verse. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask God. And what? It'll be given to you. It's not, man, I don't know. I might not give you any. So here's the thing. If I ask you next week, right, when we come and have our pop quiz, and I'm going to ask the question, I'm going to say, do any of y'all know any wise people in the room? Well, we all could be wise. And, oh, really? No. It's not about how old you are, how experienced you are. Do you ask God for wisdom? So, hey, let's get after it, asking God for wisdom. So that's where we're going to start today, asking God for wisdom. Life is a series of choices, and you know this, and repeated choices, you know, they become a habit. So I'm driving to CCC every Sunday morning. I go the same route every Sunday morning. My phone knows where I'm going before I do. And it tells me, but I don't even need to look. I don't look at it. I just go. I mean, I know exactly where I'm going. I'm not thinking about it. I'm on the way. I know where all of the rest stops are because I rest a lot. I know where all the construction is because there's a construction a lot. I know all that. Well, today I came from Edmond, Oklahoma. I was so messed up. I mean, the sun was on the wrong side. I was just messed up because I have repeated some choices over and over and over, it become a habit. And so this is us. And so this thing about choice, we're going to think about it for a second. Sometimes I don't like to make choices. Mary Beth and I have this problem almost every day when she comes home from work. And you know what that is? What's for dinner? I don't know. What do you want? I don't know. What do you want? I don't know. I want what you want. I don't want what you want, but I don't know what I want. You know what I mean? We have then given the gift of choice. We get to make decisions about things we do. And the thing about choices is sometimes we make choices, and here's the thing about all choices, they all have consequences. All of our choices, decisions have consequences. Sometimes we make bad choices that lead to bad consequences. And the thing is, you know, every good gift that God's ever given us, human beings have abused. And most of all, this gift of choice. This very gift of choice. And sometimes we don't want it. Can you take it back, please? But that's part of our relationship with Him, that He wants us to make choices that He leads us because He wants, that's what He calls love, that we would trust Him. And we'll get to that a little bit more in a minute. And good choices, though, don't always, just because you make good choices doesn't mean you always have easy consequences. Right off the bat, you would think, well, you know, Jesus made a decision to do His Father's will. You know what it cost Him? Yeah, crucifixion, right? James himself was the leader of the church in Jerusalem, and he kept telling people about Jesus. Some of the people in Jerusalem didn't like that. And so one day, maybe he should have thought, I need to keep my mouth shut today, because that's the day they killed him for it. They threw him off a building. He didn't die from the fall, so the guy got a club and started whacking him in the head. You know, that day, that choice, that day, didn't lead to an easy consequence, but it did lead to the consequences he was not afraid of, because what he was focused on was something beyond his life here on earth, and same with Jesus. But choices lead to consequences. And so here's what the deal is with wisdom. He says, we've got to trust God, and God's going to give us wisdom so we can make good choices. Now, how many of you parents, you know, one of the things you tell your kids is make good choices. Or my dad would say, remember who you are. You know, these are the things they would say when you're sending your kid out. And I would always want to think, my kids would say back to me, I'm saying, hey, boys, make good choices. They'd say, hey, Dad, you make good choices too, because, you know, I'm as prone to bad choices as they are. But what I need wisdom so that we can make good choices. Choice is your gift. You can't not make choices. Not making a choice is making a choice, so you know. So what we need is wisdom, and, you know, God's going to give it. So there's four things I want to talk about. Four things about making good choices. And first of all, getting wisdom, ask God. When you ask God, that puts God ahead of your own ideas and also the ideas of our culture. I'm not going to ask me first. I'm going to ask God first. I want to know about this. Now, sometimes I do that this way. I try what I think and it doesn't work. Then I ask God. Yeah. It's kind of a backwards deal. He says, if you need wisdom, yeah, and we do because we're making decisions every day. So I need some wisdom today. Help me make good choices. Help me make good choices. And then our culture, like Paul tells, there's a wisdom of our culture. There's a wisdom of these times. Every generation kind of has a kind of a wisdom of that generation. And what James is saying, don't mess with that. Paul said it this way, that the enemy of God is the culture, the wisdom of this culture. Now, he's talking about Corinth in the first century, but it's the same now. So Ask God. And when you're asking God, you're not taking a poll. You know, like, I'm not going to get a second. I don't need a second opinion. Well, I'm going to go ask God what he thinks, and he's going to tell me, you know what? I'm going to check that out, God. I'm going to go ask, you know, Steve back here. Steve, God says this. What do you think? That's dumb, right? That'd be dumb. You know, you got to go with God. Go with what God says. Like me, I'd be asking my Stephen Schlegel, my financial guy. I said, hey, what should I do with this amount of money here, Stephen? He'd say, well, you should do this. And then what am I going to do? Go ask one of my grandkids? What do you think there, downtown? No, you know, second opinion, you don't need. You got God, you don't need a second opinion. You don't need a plan B. It's not what's happening. So number one, ask God. Put him first. Ask God for wisdom. That's what James says. If you need it, ask God. Second, practice God's word, which, of course, means, you know, knowing God's word. Hard to practice, yeah, what you don't know. And so you're going to practice God's word. Man, the song, just we sang it here a couple weeks ago, and I asked Jeanette and Mike to sing it again, the song Word of God Speak. This last couple of weeks, I've listened to that song every morning, and it's just blessed me so much. Just calms me down and reminds me that God is speaking to me, and he's doing it often through his word. I need to know the message from God. I need to know that, and I need to know God's word. I need to read it, and I'm going to get to that in this next slide. Road, assuming you know what the scripture is, you're going to come to a fork in the road, and you're going to hear a voice. This is the Holy Spirit. We're going to rely on the Holy Spirit to remind us of what God says, and then apply it. And here's how Isaiah says, you're going to hear a voice that says, turn to the right or to the left. It'll tell you which way to go. God's Spirit, in the moment, you ask God for wisdom, you saturate with yourself with scripture, he will give you the wisdom you need to make the good choice at the moment. Now then, next one, just aside, a couple of things I want to say about reading the Bible. I talk about that a lot because that's one of my jams, you know, reading the Bible. One thing you could be reading if you wanted to, because, you know, we're doing a series on James, so what might you think? James. That'd be good. One of the things that James himself suggests by how much he uses it, he suggests for wisdom, read Proverbs. Read Proverbs. There's some stuff in there. I always think a person, along with whatever else they're reading, ought to be reading through the Gospels. Because, you know, I think I know what Jesus did and meant and said. But sometimes I think, you know, well, what Jesus did, no, that Jesus didn't do that. Because when I reread it, it's like, kind of like we are with Dr. Vanderland every Sunday morning in class. It's like, I thought I knew that, but I must not have been paying attention during that part. I dozed off. Just checking. Yeah. So, read scripture. Next slide. Choose godly friends. Duh. Your friends influence your decisions. Now, you know, this is a parent thing to say. But seriously, I want to tell you two guys I have observed, and I think this is good. And that's Lucas and Xander, right? Choose godly friends. I mean, I love watching them come in. And, you know, well, actually, Lucas is usually here by the time I get here because he's playing the drums. But the fact that their friendship is making them better human beings, you know, I think that's pretty obvious as we watch it. Xander and Lucas, young guys who are wise. Why? Because they chose good friends, godly friends. And your friends influence so much about what you do. Like, you know, this is not just friends, but culture too. But they influence what you wear. Do you notice this? This happens in fashion all the time. Why do we wear the stuff we're wearing? Because, you know, 10 years from now, it'll change what we're wearing, the style of stuff. But it'll start out with the person who influences you the most is your friends. My friends are all doing that, you know. this is the thing I didn't. When did girls start doing shirts and pants like? I don't do that. Well, anyway, some friends started that. I'll guarantee you. And this is it too. Your language. You know, you remember the movie that had the first cuss word in it? Gone with the Wind. You win, Steve. But that now, what movie doesn't? Language. Our language has changed. Where does that start? With our friends. But it's more than that. It's about having a positive attitude at life. Some people, you're around them, and you're going to get a big dose of negative. You know that? And that can't, it rubs off on you. And a big dose of positive also. That kind of rubs off on you, too. And there's lots of other ways. But here's one thing I wish everybody had: a friend who, when they met up to drink coffee or drink whatever they're drinking, or, you know, whatever they're playing golf, or they're playing whatever they're doing to meet up, having lunch. And I wish I'd have started this a lot earlier, but that we could just talk about Scripture. This is what I've read the Bible this week. What do you think about that? And this is what happened in my life. You know, I thought, is this what this means? Does this mean when Jesus says this, and I had this happen to me this week, does it mean that I should really, you know, give money to the stranger? What? You know what? I mean, you just discuss Scripture. I mean, instead of, what else are you going to discuss? Well, you know, football or baseball or basketball, whatever sports season. Are you going to discuss work? Or these days, you can always, you know, get real nasty about the political people you don't like, and you can let that fire you up. But what if you had a person who you, when you met with them, you discussed the Scripture, because, you know, you're reading it, and your godly friend, he's reading it too, or she's reading it too. But just discuss your life in the Spirit of God, your life as a son or daughter of God. That's what you talk about. Anyway, I think that'd be good for people. I'm blessed with some guys in my life like that. And then the next one is this: beware of the influence of false wisdom. And there's lots of others, but I'm going to talk about three quickly. Pride first. Pride comes in this way: that I can make this decision myself. I can do all the research. I'm smart. I can do this myself. I don't need help from somebody else. I don't need to ask God. And I get in a habit, like I said, you know, decisions, the way you make decisions, and so you don't ever ask for help. You don't ever ask for God to give you wisdom. Like, maybe we should ask God to give us wisdom on a daily, maybe decision-by-decision basis sometimes. God, help me with this. I need some wisdom with this as I'm making different choices in my life, from big choices to little choices, like what's for dinner. Maybe I should ask God for wisdom about what's for dinner. Because you know what? In my brain, I know what's good to eat, good for me to eat. Does that mean I eat it? You know what that means? In the Bible, especially in Proverbs, they classify, there's two types of people. There's wise and fools. If I know what's good for me to eat and I eat what's not good, I'm a fool. But it's that way about everything. You know, if I know it and I don't do it, the Bible would say, if you know it and you do it, you're wise. If you know it and you don't do it, you're a fool. But maybe, you know, this is what I get in this pattern, because I think I should make the decision myself. You know, it's my own body. I'll put whatever I want to in it. What? Well, maybe it's not your own body. Maybe that body belongs to God. I need God's wisdom on small things and on big things. And so, but if I have let pride get out of my way, like, I'm in charge of me, you know. Second is selfishness. And you know, this is asking the question, well, what's in it for me? With every decision you make, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? Well, I don't like that. Yeah, I don't like that. back to the what there is to eat, this just hit me, you know. people would say, "What do you want for dinner?" At my house, you know, my mama never asked me what I want for dinner. You just eat this, boy. And, you know, I liked it. I liked it. And I like everything. But, you know, what's in it for me? I don't know if I like that or not. What's in it for me? Maybe that gets in the way of asking God for wisdom. Because my plan A is not ask God for wisdom. Plan A is ask me for what I want. You know, selfishness. I'm going to ask me what I want. Then maybe I'll ask God if I, you know, can't figure it out. And the other is misuse of Scripture. And there's lots more than this, but misuse of Scripture has been as long as Satan and Jesus in the garden. Probably even longer. But, you know, Satan came at Jesus with Scripture, but he was misusing the Scripture. Later, the Pharisees come at Jesus with Scripture, and he says, "That's not what that means. That's not what that means." Because people are always quick to misuse Scripture. A couple of years ago in a political, somebody said, "You know, we need to get back the Bible, and, you know, we need to be an eye for an eye kind of people." Dude, you missed the boat there. I mean, you know, isn't that just kind of the opposite of what Jesus said? Yeah, because people misuse Scripture, and they usually do it for one of those other two reasons above. So then here's where we're going to kind of settle down, focus. Doubt comes when you listen to the wrong voices. And I'm going to read these verses to you. He says, ask God for wisdom. Then verse 6 says, when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Doubt is like a wave of sea blown and tossed by the wind. Those who doubt should not think they'll receive anything from the Lord. They're double-minded and unstable in all they do. Double-minded means, you know, I got like having two girlfriends. You don't have two girlfriends, guys. You just got the one girlfriend. She's, you know, that's the way you go. You don't have two. Later in James, we'll get to talk more about double-mindedness, and he calls it being adulterous, to be double-minded. And so you ask God for wisdom. Well, I'm going to ask so-and-so and so-and-so. You can't do that. And so sometimes it's also this. Doubt comes when you listen to the wrong voice. And like Eve famously listened to the serpent who said, "Are you sure God said that?" And there, here comes doubt. Here comes doubt. And so the voices, they might say to you, our culture might say, you know, maybe God's wrong on this. I know he said that, but that was for those people in those days. And, you know, really, that doesn't work now. Or maybe that's it. You know, God's ways don't work. They don't work in my world, or they don't work in this culture. They don't work in my family. You know, you can't love your neighbor. They'll take advantage of you. Have you ever heard that? I can't be generous. People take advantage of me. Well, maybe you're listening to the wrong voices. But I want to end with the last part of verse 5, going back to verse 5. It says, God, if you need wisdom, God will give it to you. He gives generously to all without finding fault. I want you to think about this. Sometimes we think of God, he's grading us through the day. Yeah, no, no. B minus. God is not scolding us for the bad decisions we made in the past. Well, you know, back there when you were younger, you did this and that. There are sad and bad consequences that have come from our bad decisions. But God's not shaking his finger at us in this verses. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, ask for wisdom. Okay, you didn't ask for it last time. Or the last 100 times. You didn't ask for it. Ask now. It's not too late to ask for wisdom. Basically, wisdom is trusting God. We're going to sing a song, Oceans. And this is about asking for wisdom. And it's about trusting God. It's never too late to trust God. Many of you, and me too, God has spoken to me, and I'm on the edge of doing what he says. I'm on the edge of maybe I'll do it. Maybe I'll stop doing it. It's not too late to say yes and trust him. Let's trust him Yeah, today. Let's sing.